This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
2-2. Struck him out. Ball game. Cubs win. Valencia finishes it off.
Oh, now words. And benches are going to empty, but nothing's going to come of this. Is it Jonathan Mota making his way all the way over to Wilson to try to play peacemaker and calling Marmo or somebody said, I got it. Wilson got had a little dust up with the Reds here a few days ago.
Had one with the Brewers.
He runs hot.
He does.
That was heard on the Marquee Sports Network as the Cubs get the 3-0 win over the Cardinals and some fireworks afterwards. Not like loud booming fireworks, but some fireworks afterwards. Words exchanged. I am Rami Makhlouf, hour two of the Score Evening Show, live from the Hyundai Score Studios and brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to talk some Cubs with you at 312-644-6767 a little later this hour. But joining me now on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. You can hear him on the Marquee Sports Network and find him on Twitter at Voice of Cohen, too. A pleasure to welcome in Alex Cohen. How are you this evening, Alex?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. And just getting to enjoy another Cubs victory in a series split at Busch Stadium. So it was a good day.
What did you make of the chirping there? You know, it's funny. JD said he runs hot. Like, at first, I was like, what is going on here? And then I literally said to myself, I was like, yeah, Wilson runs hot. This is not really anything new.
Yeah, that shoe kind of fits. I mean, I think you put it perfectly. Like, yeah, it was light fireworks. It was like, you know, minor league baseball fireworks on a Friday in May. It wasn't July 4th fireworks by any stretch of the imagination, but it's also showing that the rivalry's real, and it's the best rivalry in baseball. And you have game four of a four-game set in late June and, you know, two shutouts for the Cardinals, and they're upset. And yeah, Wilson Contreras gets brushed back with a 101-mile-per-hour fastball by Daniel Palencia. He's upset. Yeah. So I think it's everything that's good about a rivalry in baseball, and I think the Cubs and the Cardinals show that.
Yeah, I'll always love Wilson Contreras. He'll always hold a soft spot for and all the guys from that 2016 team. So I'm not like mad at Wilson Contreras. I actually like when there is a little bit of bad blood between these two teams. It's like Packers and Bears. I like when they're both good and there's a little bad blood between the two.
And absolutely, especially when you have players who go from the Packers into the Bears and the Bears into the Packers and vice versa. When you have, you know, a guy who was such a part of the fabric of the Chicago Cubs and when they won the World Series and, you know, especially going into 2018, 2019 and, you know, all the accolades that those teams had. And then you go to the St. Louis Cardinals, the way that he went to the Cardinals, it's bittersweet for some fans, but I do think that it adds to the rivalry of the Cubs and the Cardinals, and I think it's good for the sport. It's good for these teams.
I said to start the show, Alex, talking with Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network here on the Score Evening Show. I don't know that the Cubs necessarily needed the two wins and the split series in St. Louis after dropping the first two and five of their last six. But as a fan, for my psyche, my mentality, my emotional well-being, Alex, and the way that the season was going and how tight the standings got, I needed those two wins and for them to split that series in St. Louis. How big were those two wins for, you know, two victories at the end of June for a baseball team?
I sympathize with both of your viewpoints there. Like, do they absolutely need the victories on the road right now? Do you have to break 500? Do you have to be 4-3 on the road trip or 3-4? No, but does it make your August easier? Does it make your September easier? Yes, it does. And especially the way that they did it, in which the pitching really struggled, obviously, before the road trip, that series against the Mariners. And then they give up a lot of home runs the first two games against the Cardinals. They think, oh, man, like the Cardinals, a team who doesn't normally hit a lot of home runs, they're hitting a lot of home runs. And then you're facing off against the Astros, who right now are playing like the best team in the American League. This can get a little bit scary. Well, the best way to answer some of those concerns, not one, but back-to-back shutouts. So I think that the pitching answered the bell. Obviously, Matthew Boyd was tremendous yesterday. And getting Shota Imanaga back healthy after 7 weeks on the injured list is so important for him to go out there in a divisional game, a rivalry game on the road, 105-degree weather, or it's especially temperatures on the field there at Busch Stadium, and to go five scoreless, I mean, that's huge. So I think just getting the starting pitching back and healthy and having the two horses this year, Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, pitching well and pitching your team to two victories to split the series, I think the way they did it was really important.
Yeah, and that starting pitching has been a problem. I read off a stat when I was talking to some Cubs to start the show, and in non-Matthew Boyd starts, the rotation in five starts had given up 34 runs in 23 innings, and it's great to get Shota back. How do you get the other three spots in that rotation back on track, Alex, to make sure that you're not looking at stretches like that in between those guys taking them out?
Well, I think that getting Shota back just kind of recalibrates everybody. Then you have your one. Matthew Boyd's your two. Jameson Taillon's your three. Yeah, and then Colin Ray and Cade Horton are your four and your five. And you talk about those three other spots. Well, remember, Jameson Taillon, before this two-start stretch where he struggled,
true.
He had a
2.76
ERA over a six-week stretch. Colin Ray was really good at the start of the season. I think Cade Horton's actually been pretty good. He didn't really have, the best help of his eight players behind him, or seven players behind him, his last start at Wrigley Field. So I've actually been pretty impressed with Cade Horton, and I think that Ray and Taillon have been good in stretches. You need to get Jameson Taillon back to the way that he was pitching in late May, these two starts. And he talked about it during his postgame press conference. Just he knows that he's struggling. He knows that he has to get right. He has to do it fast, and he's absolutely right with that.
When you're talking about this rotation, you got to talk about Ben Brown sent down a couple of days ago to AAA. What is the plan for him to get him back into form and get him back up to the big leagues now?
I mean, I think it's just a combination of him working on some things at the AAA level and limiting his innings. Remember, he ended his season last year prematurely. 30% through the season, 40% through the season. So at this time last year, Ben Brown was already out for the rest of the 2024 season. So it's a combination of making sure that that power arm is fresh once you get into August, once you get into September. And if he can get right at the AAA level, then you have a couple of different options once it comes to Ben Brown. If you do have starting pitching issues or injuries, he can come up and start. But if everybody's healthy, I mean, you're looking at a power arm, fastball, curveball combination where if you go out and say, hey, man, I want you to throw the heck out of the baseball, 20, 25 pitches, let it rip, you're looking at 98 to 99 with 2+ pitches. So Ben has that versatility where he can pitch in the bullpen. You would rather him as a starter, and he gives you a lot of depth where if he's at the AAA level, you do have starting pitching issues, you can bring it back up to the big leagues. And if everybody's healthy, then you can use him in a variety of ways once August and September comes.
Talking with Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network here on the Score Evening Show. You know, I think it was about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Jed Hoyer was speaking to the media before a game, and he was like, it's a pretty nice luxury that we don't need to fill any everyday position player spots. We're out there looking for pitching. And at the time I was like, yeah, I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah, you're set at those nine guys that are going to step to the plate or take the field every day. Has that changed with Matt Shaw and the rough June that he's having?
I actually don't think so. I think his defense has more than impressed. I mean, he's playing right now at a Gold Glove caliber level at third base, and he's somebody offensively that you saw when he got called back up from the AAA level. He had 15 games where he was red hot. Now you're looking at 25, 30 games where he struggled. It's probably going to be 15 games good, 30 games bad, 20 games good, 15 games bad. And you'll get the non-linear progression with Shaw. I don't know if you watched the game that much today. He hit the ball really hard his first three at-bats. He barreled a single up the middle, finally hit some velo at 96 miles per hour, exit velo at 107. So if you're looking at Matt Shaw staying center of the field, catching up the fastballs. So that's normally an indicator of how he's seeing the ball and how he's going to swing. So I have a feeling that Matt Shaw, you might not be seeing, you know, hitting 367 over a 15-game stretch, which he did after he got called back up. But I think that there are good things on the horizon for him offensively when it comes to his growth at the plate.
If this continues, do you think there's any possibility that he does go back to AAA Iowa if the bat continues to struggle? Or do you think his glove, as long as it's as good as it's been, that keeps him up here at the big league level?
I think for right now it keeps him up there, but I mean, you can ask me that question on July 29th and when right. It is the trade deadline and you're looking 48 hours up until guys are getting moved, my answer might change. I mean, it completely depends where they are at the deadline. If they are 7 games up, they're probably keeping him up there. If they're a half a game up, they might look for, you know, different contributions. They might look for a Ryan McMahon. They might look for, if the Cardinals are out of it, Nolan Arenado, which I don't think they are. I think the Cardinals are actually pretty legit. I think that they can play, and they are, you know, surpassing expectations that I had for them early in the season. I can't imagine Nolan Arenado gets traded at this point, but, you know, Ryan McMahon has been rumored to get out of Colorado. He's somebody that could possibly fill a need to change of scenery. So if you're saying right now, late June, who is going to be the third baseman for the Chicago Cubs the rest of the year, taking the majority of the at-bats, and 99% of me would say Matt Shaw.
On the flip side of that, and a guy who's certainly not struggling, did go 0-for-4 today, but Kyle Tucker, red hot coming into the game. 8 of the last 10 starts, he had reached base at least twice. And I know he got off to that red hot, torrid start at the beginning of the season, but just looking at his approach, how selective and patient he's been at the plate here in the last couple weeks, are we seeing an even better version, like the best version of Kyle Tucker that we've seen yet this season here in the last couple of weeks?
I mean, he's a top five hitter in baseball. No hyperbole. He's a top five hitter in baseball. I mean, he draws more walks than he strikes out. He doesn't chase. He's finally, I won't say finally, I mean, he has, what, 15, 16 home runs, but he went through a stretch in late May going into June where he hit one home run in a month, and now he's hit 4. So, and you saw it a little bit during the homestand. Even though he wasn't putting the ball out of the yard, he hit the wall a couple times during the homestand. He had that big game against Seattle as well. So this is what you got. I mean, this is why you traded Cam Smith and Isak Paredes and Hayden Wesneski to get a top five hitter in baseball. And he's that.
Talking with Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network here for a couple more minutes on the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf, your host. Couple days ago, we saw something from PCA that we haven't seen from him at the big league level before, and his teammates came to his defense. Craig Counsell came to his defense and let him know that it was not anything that he should dwell on. But forgetting how many outs there were in the outfield there and a run scoring as a result, and PCA, you could tell, was bothered by it. It wasn't something that just rolled off his back. You, for those who don't know, were the AAA announcer for the Iowa Cubs for a long time. You saw PCA coming up through the ranks. Was there ever any mental, was that like a part of his game or a concern at any level?
No.
That, okay, all right. So it's not anything.
Not in the least bit. I mean, I think the competitiveness and being upset
right.
when he made a mistake, I mean, that was certainly a part of his game at age 20 and 21. But no, I mean, he was always considered one, a top-tier caliber defender. I mean, he's the best defender that I've seen at the minor league level in the 15 years that I was there. And he essentially did everything perfect at the AAA level. I mean, there was one time where he ran into the wall because he didn't understand really the dimensions of Principal Park. I think it was his third game there. But, you know, nothing of forgetting the amount of outs or dumb plays or selfish plays. I mean, he was always considered a 10 out of 10 outfielder with a high baseball IQ. So I think that's something that's correctable. Probably won't happen again. He's a smart kid. And it's just something that it happens more often in Major League Baseball than you would think. But for somebody like PCA, I don't think it'll happen again.
Alex Cohen, my guest of the Marquee Sports Network. I was going through your Twitter timeline. I usually do go through my guests' social media, see if I can get a nugget or two for the interview. And speaking of the AAA Iowa Cubs, you had a little nugget from a couple days ago that their top four prospects, Owen Casey, Moises Ballesteros, Kevin Alcantara, and Jonathan Long, they are hitting the baseball at Iowa at the halfway point. They had respectively 22, 16, 14, and 18 home runs with those four guys. And a lot of other impressive numbers. I don't want to read off all the numbers here on the radio, Alex, but looking at those four guys, and we saw a little bit of Ballesteros earlier in the season for that short call-up, who of those four guys do you think has the best chance of coming up here and contributing in some way, shape, or form? Maybe it's when rosters expand at the end of July. Who do you think of those four guys has the best chance of coming up here and contributing for the big league club?
Well, I mean, this is a blessing and a curse because, I mean, it's the 2025 Chicago Cubs, and there's really no space for any of those four guys, which is a really good sign for the Cubs. You feel bad for Owen Casey, who's in his second year at AAA, and he's on pace to set a career high in runs batted in, home runs, extra base hits, OPS, slugging percentage, and doing it at 22 years old. I mean, you would hope there was room for Owen Casey, but right now there's not with Seiya Suzuki playing at an all-star level and playing pretty much every day, Kyle Tucker being reasonably healthy, PCA playing every day, and Ian Happ doing Ian Happ things. So there's really no space for Owen Casey to get at bats. I just think via the process of elimination, it's probably Moises, just because you're playing a position at catcher where you're one injury away right now to Carson Kelly or Reese McGuire, to him having to be up there and having considerable amount of at bats. I think that you saw him back in May. You showed his ability to come in as a DH or a pinch hitter and give you a quality big league at bat. He didn't strike out much, had some hard contact, rolled over a little bit, spent a little bit too much time on the ground. But I think just via the process of elimination, it's probably Moises.
You mentioned Carson Kelly. How about that guy being one of the two finalists for catchers in the All-Star voting this year? It's been
awesome. It's been really fun to see Carson, a guy who, you know, he was obviously expected to contribute, but not to the extent that he did, especially early on in the season. I mean, I think how my catchphrase was for the home runs, it was the spring of Carson Kelly, just like it was the summer of Mike Talkman. It was the spring of Carson Kelly. And it was. I mean, he was the best offensive catcher in baseball. Obviously, right now, Cal Raleigh for Seattle is taking that crown in the American League. But you can make a case for Carson Kelly over the course of the entire season. He is maybe not number one, but he is the number two catcher in the National League right now. And that's pretty impressive.
That's Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play broadcaster for the Marquee Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter for all sorts of great Cubs content at Voice of Cohen 2. And my guest for the last few minutes here on the Circus Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Alex, really appreciate the time and the insight, man. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
There's Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network. Yeah, I'll give you the full picture of the All-Star voting here in just a couple minutes. But the Carson Kelly story is really cool and well-deserved that he's one of the two finalists. I don't know that he'll get voted in, but well-deserved that he's one of the two finalists. I asked Alex about the third baseman situation and whether the Cubs need to go find one. I'll ask you the same right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and back in just a few minutes.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Score Evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
Boyd to Arenado, ground ball to third. Diving stop by Shaw, long throw, and he got him! What a play by Matt Shaw! You think about all the plays that Arenado has made over the years to rob opposing hitters of base hits. Here he gets a dose of his own medicine.
Yeah, this is a great play by Matty. One of the best he's made in the big league so far as he lays out for this ball. He ends up catching it in foul territory and is able to get to his feet, make a strong throw from foul territory and an accurate one. And Michael Busch with a great stretch to get Arenado by a step.
That heard right here on 670 The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score Evening Show for about the next 90 minutes plus, taking you up until 9 o'clock. We'll talk some Cubs, some Major League Baseball trade deadline with Bob Nightingale of USA Today coming up at about 8 o'clock. I got open phone lines to talk Cubs with you between now and then at 312-644-6767. You can also drop me a text using that very same number, 312-644-6767. And do the Cubs need to go get themselves a third baseman between now and the trade deadline? That's the question I have for you, and the question that I just had for Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network. And Alex, not ready to go there yet, and in large part because of what you just heard right there. Matt Shaw is playing a really, really good third base right now. Alex said gold glove level third base, and it's hard to argue with that. The guy is making all the plays, and I'm not all that surprised. The word coming from the minor leagues when he first made that switch from shortstop to third base was that the defense wasn't quite there, but the bat was major league ready. But well, that's quite the opposite right now, and I'm not surprised that the glove came around. That this was a guy who played shortstop at a very high level. That's one of the hardest positions to play defensively in the sport of baseball, and so there is going to be a transition, but I was pretty confident that a guy who played shortstop at a high level could make that transition to third base and make the adjustments that needed to be made to play that position at a pretty high level. And he is. And it's really, really nice to see, and obviously helps a lot and helps those pitchers a lot when he's making plays like that one that you just heard right here on 670 The Score. But the bat has gone away again, man. And it's really, really gone away again. Like, to the same degree that it was back in April when he had to get sent down. He has the exact same OPS in June that he had in April of .477. Batting average slightly higher at .169. But he's also striking out at a pretty high clip. Strikeout rate right now is about 21%, and his walk rate is at 9%. His weighted runs created plus is 74 right now. And if you don't follow the weighted runs created plus stat, that's bad. That's really, really bad. And I just don't know how long, if you're serious about winning a World Series this year, I don't know how long, despite the defense, you can keep turning a blind eye to that bat and just plugging that guy in third base every day and or not looking at other options between now and the trade deadline. Because, yes, the offense has woken up here. Only 3 runs today, but before that, I think they had 15 runs in the last 2 days. And despite dropping game 2 of this series, the offense has woken up. And a big part of the reason that the offense has woken up is, well, Ian Happ found the power stroke. Kyle Tucker found the power stroke. Saya has bounced back. PCA, after like a little mini slump, has bounced back. Michael Bush hit the home run today. His power had kind of gone away here a little bit of late. And look, those are the guys that are going to make this thing go. Those 5 guys plus Dansby Swanson, the first 6 in your lineup, those are going to be the guys that make this thing go and are going to be the reason that you're able to put up a lot of runs on a consistent basis. But Craig Counsell talked earlier in the year about what made this offense so dangerous and so good is that when one or two guys in the lineup are slumping, or even 3 or 4 guys in the lineup are slumping, they had enough firepower elsewhere in the lineup that they could make up for that. And what we saw prior to the offense waking up here in the last 3-4 days, for really a good 3 weeks to a month, as this offense had a hard time putting up more than 4 runs on any given day, what we saw was Kyle Tucker cooled off a little bit, PCA cooled off a little bit, Dansby cooled off a little bit, Michael Bush, Suzuki, they all cooled off a little bit, and the rest of that lineup was just not good enough to sort of pick up the slack and pick up the pieces and make sure that you could score enough runs on a day-to-day basis to win baseball games at the rate that they were. And that's going to happen again. Those guys are all very good hitters. Kyle Tucker and PCA especially, all very good hitters. The best hitters slump. And at almost any given time in any given lineup, you can pretty much count on two or three of your guys not having their best stroke. And that's why you need to have a deep lineup. That's why you need to have guys in those 7, 8, and 9 slots. And that's really what was missing from this offense for the last couple of years. And what made this offense dangerous in the early goings of this year is that the bottom of that lineup was really, really productive and driving in runs. And the catcher position with Miguel Amaya going down with the injury, you have not gotten the same production there that you were earlier in the season. Nico Horner is finding his stroke again. He had his first home run of the season a couple days ago. But that third base position is just a complete and total black hole right now in terms of the offense. And if I'm the Cubs, if I'm Jed Hoyer, I'm shopping for a third baseman right now. And maybe shopping Matt Shaw as part of a package to get a third baseman, because despite the struggles, very highly ranked, highly touted prospect that I think other teams probably still think that there is something there in terms of the bat and what he can do at the major league level. And maybe you package him up with a couple other prospects to go and get you a bona fide bat at third base, something that the Cubs have been looking for a long time. And that's not to say that I don't believe Matt Shaw will ever develop into the type of bat that the Cubs need him to be and that we thought he could be. But just if you're trying to win a World Series right now, I don't know that you can wait for that to happen. Where are you at on third base? Do you think the Cubs need to go and look for one? 312-644-6767. But then again, I read an article today, Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. It was from a couple days ago, I believe, about how the clock is ticking on this Cubs team and why that should make them a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more assertive between now and the trade deadline. But it's kind of funny because I was reading the article, and to me, I could see where Rosenthal was coming from, that with the Kyle Tucker trade and some of the other machinations of this roster and the payroll and everything else that I'll tell you about here in just a second, I can see why he was saying the Cubs need to be aggressive and not waste this season and really, really go for it here in 2025. But the case he almost kind of made to me was maybe you shouldn't be so aggressive because of where this roster is at and the contractual situations of the core of this baseball team right now and what it could mean for the coming years of the Chicago Cubs. Because we talk a lot about Kyle Tucker, obviously. They trade for him in the final year of his contractual control. He's going to hit free agency this offseason. He's going to be the most sought-after position player in free agency this offseason. And we'd all like to see him stay in a Cubs uniform, obviously. That's the most talked about contract situation with the Chicago Cubs, and for good reason. We even talk about PCA and whether or not he'll get an extension soon, something the two sides did talk about and then apparently broke off those talks so PCA could concentrate on baseball, and that's paid off. And it's not something where there's a ton of urgency because you still got 4 years of contractual control with that guy, and so you're not in too much of a rush. And I don't think PCA is in too much of a rush to get a deal done because his price goes up every day. But I did know each of these things individually, but until Ken Rosenthal put it all into one big picture, I guess I didn't realize what the Cubs are looking at exactly here in the next couple of years. Because in addition to Kyle Tucker being a free agent this offseason, the Cubs have potential free agents in the 2026-27 offseason of Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki, Nico Horner, Jameson Taillon, Matthew Boyd, all free agents after next season. Not this season, but after next season. All that's the majority of your core. That's the majority of the core that's been so good for you this year. That group combined with Kyle Tucker, they account for 37% of the team's F-WAR entering Tuesday. So I can see why Ken Rosenthal and others would look at that and go, you have to strike now. You have to go and make the most of this offseason or make the most of this season right now and be very aggressive between now and the trade deadline. And I kind of can get down with that. I agree. I fully was on board with that until I started reading this article from Ken Rosenthal, who again is making the case that the Cubs should be very aggressive. But I look at that, and the flip side of that is you're probably going to have to – now, some of those guys will be back. It's not like we're going to be looking at a team without Kyle Tucker, Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki, Nico Horner, Jameson Taillon, and Matthew Boyd in 2 years. That would be a seismic shift on this roster. Some of those guys will be re-signed and still be Chicago Cubs, but on some level – you're going to have to restock the cupboard here in a couple of seasons, whether it's replacing Ian Happ or replacing Seiya Suzuki or replacing Nico Horner, any of these guys. You're always looking for pitching. So Taillon and Boyd being free agents in a couple of years only emphasizes that focus a little bit more, I would think, a focus that every team always has. You never have enough pitching. But you're going to have to restock the cupboard on some level. You're going to have to replace some of those guys. And if you can keep Kyle Tucker in a Cubs uniform, he's 28. Michael Busch, who's under contractual control for four more years, he's 27, and PCA is 23. And the only player under contract beyond 2026 is Dansby Swanson, who's signed through 2029. If you can keep Kyle Tucker, that's the core of your core right there. Those three guys, Tucker, Busch, and PCA. Do you really want to give up prospects? I was talking with Alex Cohen before of Marquee Sports just this last segment, and he was their AAA announcer for the Iowa Cubs for a number of years before he himself getting the call up to the big leagues and the Marquee Sports Network. I talked with him about Owen Casey, Ballesteros, who we saw earlier this year, Alcantara, who we saw in spring training flash all sorts of skills, and Jonathan Long, their top four prospects, who have 22, 16, 14, and 18 home runs, respectively. And that's just some of the guys that they got coming up through the system. Do you really want to empty out the cupboard in the minor leagues? And I know this isn't what Cubs fans want to hear. You want a team that's fully in on going for a World Series this year. But do you really want to empty out the cupboard to go and get what's probably rentals? That's usually what you'll get at the trade deadline, not guys with many, many years left on their deals who are still going to be productive throughout those deals. Usually either getting rentals or you're taking a guy off someone else's hands who's kind of underperforming and you think you can revive him. But do you want to empty out the cupboard in the minor leagues and risk not having the replacements for all these guys that are going to be free agents? Again, Happ, Seiya, Nico, Taillon, Boyd, all free agents after next season. And then you're sort of starting all over again. You're starting the clock all over again on building a contender. Or would you rather, now they're going to make some moves, but would you rather some more modest moves this year and even next year? Keep yourself very competitive, probably the favorite in the division, especially if you can keep Kyle Tucker beyond this year, and have what you need in the minor league system that you can restock at the major league level, bring these guys up, replace the players who you're going to lose, and make this thing a little bit more sustainable. More swings at the plate, so to speak, in terms of being a contender by not being so frivolous in how you spend your prospects and assets. So a couple things for you there. 312-644-6767 if you want to talk Cubs. Should they be looking at third base, which they weren't up until recently? Still aren't, according to what I'm hearing. And how aggressive do you want to see them be with the core of this team basically all being free agents here in the next couple of off seasons? 312-644-6767. Got time for one call before the break, or do I, Adam? Should I take calls after the break? Okay, let's get in Ken in Elk Grove. You're on the score. What's up, Ken?
Not much. I appreciate it. Keep the farm system intact. I think Shaw will be okay. The other guys from 6, 7, and 8 also have to start hitting. But while I was on hold, what I would want to improve, what are you getting from the bench players? From Turner to 17 to John Birdie? And what are you getting from them when they pinch hit? You're not getting much. Every once a week they play, and they're 0 for 3, 0 for 4, 1 for 4. How do we, if we're going to take the next step, how do we also improve the bench with key players that way?
Yeah, I think that's something that Jed Hoyer will definitely be looking for. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. They might need a starting third baseman. Other than that, if you're trading for position players, it is for that depth. And a big bat off the bench would be real nice, whether it be at first base or third base or a guy who can move around the field. They have all the outfielders that they need because Saya can take a day out there when needed. But, yeah, it's an infielder who gives you a big bat off the bench or a little bit of speed off the bench if you need to throw a pinch runner in there at any given crucial point in a playoff game. Those are moves that I'm sure Jed Hoyer is looking at. And those are usually moves that you can pull off without giving up a ton from your farm system. That's not going to demand a package of prospects. So I think that's very attainable. And I think that's something that they are going to try and should probably be able to pull off. I didn't think they need any position players in terms of everyday position players, but I don't know how much longer you can deal with Matt Shaw. As good as the glove is, I don't know how much longer you can deal with Matt Shaw, plus what's going on with the catcher position and the lack of offense there. It might just be too big a hole right now because, like I said, the core of this offense is going to struggle at times, and that's when you need other guys in that lineup to pick it up, and they're just not right now. You want to talk some Cubs with me? 312-644-6767. Does the big picture change your idea at all in terms of how aggressive this team should be and should they be looking for a third baseman? Rami Makhlouf, Score Evening Show. More from you right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
There it is. I was waiting for the beat to drop. Rami Makhlouf with you here on the Score Evening Show up until 9 o'clock. I'll be talking with Bob Nightingale about the Cubs, the Sox, the Major League Baseball trade deadline coming up at 8 o'clock. If you missed, Mark Eversley, the Bulls GM, with Mully and Haw this morning. We'll bring you a good chunk of that coming up at about 8:20. So still plenty to get to here on the Score Evening Show before I wrap this thing up at 9 o'clock. But there's always room for a little Bears talk here on the Score Evening Show. Bears. And a good piece from Jason Leisure. Thank you. At the Chicago Sun-Times, as he usually puts out. Because He's and I don't know that I've seen anybody else necessarily do this in written word, trying to pin down some expectations for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and the Bears here in the first era of the Ben Johnson coaching tenure. And it's actually the article's actually titled Pinning Down Specific Expectations for Coach Ben Johnson in His First Season with Caleb Williams and the Bears. And it's something that I've talked about what the expectations should be, and I've said that I won't have a lot of patience, even though there is a part of my brain that's telling me that I should, that, you know, you have a first-time head coach in his first year. You have a second-year quarterback who the organization did everything to break in his first year as the quarterback, as they usually do with their QBs. But I don't know that I have that patience in me, because I'm looking at year four of the Ryan Poles era with nothing to show for it. And in the NFL, rebuilds don't take that long. I've been saying this since the start of last year when I was saying we should have expectations for year three, because that's the longest a rebuild should take in the NFL. You should be relevant. People should see what you're building towards by year three of a rebuild. If you don't believe me, look at the Lions and look at a whole host of other teams that did what the Bears did in tearing things down and rebuilding again from the ground up. So because of that, and just because of what the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years of Bears football has been and has done to me as a Bears fan, I don't know that I have a lot of patience to watch this thing grow into what I want it to eventually look like, even though I should. And Jason, he does say that playoffs being a possibility is certainly something that Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson and everybody else should have on their radar. But as far as the expectations, he frames it in a different way and probably a more realistic way, and a way that will, I was talking about my sanity when it comes to the Cubs and the way that they played for the last week before taking these last two from the Cardinals, to protect my sanity, my mental well-being as a Bears fan, that maybe I should look at it a little bit more the way that Jason lays out in his piece at the Chicago Sun-Times. I highly encourage you to go check it out. It's from a couple days ago, again, pinning down the expectations for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. He points out that they still have the second hardest schedule based on opponents' 2024 win percentage, but that they should have enough talent on this team to propel them to the playoffs. But the main points that Jason sort of lays out as far as what we should expect and look for as Bears fans here in this first year, less on wins and losses and more on what does Ben Johnson get out of Caleb Williams? He puts the bar at upper third of the league at his position. I heard Jason on with Spiegel and Holmes a couple days ago, and he's on there weekly. You can go and catch him, and he's always great. Use the Odyssey app to go back and listen to it. And Spiegs asked him, what do you mean by upper third? Like, there are a lot of ways that you can look at that. And Jason said, if I ask you at the end of the year, would you rather have Caleb Williams than these 20 other quarterbacks? And your answer is yes. That's how I'm looking at it. And I think that's a very fair and reasonable way to look at this, and something that we can put our finger on that's not necessarily wins and losses. If it doesn't add up to, because the schedule is so difficult, because you have a new coach and a second-year quarterback, and it might take some time for things to fall in place, if the wins and losses are not there, but we can point at Caleb Williams and go, that guy is a top third quarterback in this league, and the arrow is still pointing up, and we can see that there's more to get out of him than that, that it can be even better than top third, that's a huge, huge accomplishment and achievement, and something that will propel the Bears to the wins we're looking for, if not this year, in the years to come. And beyond that, is just sort of a feel, man. And this is more from my perspective than anything Jason laid out. I don't know about you. At no point in the Matt Eberflus era did I feel like, oh, okay, we're definitely moving in the right direction. I definitely see where this thing is going, and I can see them getting there. Even during the Matt Nagy era, and even after the playoff year and in his first year as head coach, I looked at that and I was like, okay, that's cool, that's fun and all, but wasn't this guy brought in to design a high-powered offense and develop a franchise quarterback out of Mitch Trubisky? Isn't that what he was brought here for? Because I didn't see that. I saw Vic Fangio's defense win a whole bunch of games and make a deep run in the playoffs. I didn't see a whole lot of that offensive wizardry and QB guru-ness, if that's even a word, that was promised when they hired Matt Nagy. And I'm still looking for that before I really buy into this vision. If I can see where this thing is headed and can see how they get there, and Caleb Williams is a top third quarterback, even if it's not the 9 or 10 wins that I'm looking for, I think I'll be okay with this coming Bears season. I'm going to shift my expectations and the way that I'm pinning those expectations a little bit based on Jason's writing and just some thinking after reading what Jason wrote. Go check out the article at ChicagoSunTimes.com. We'll hit a quick break, get back to some Cubs talk with Bob Nightingale. We'll talk Cubs, Sox, MLB trade deadline, all of it with Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.